Join me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. And while we were singing the Bible song, you might have seen me texting. The ladies texted me. They're on their way and said, if we could give them 10 minutes, they'll join us. I said, well, come on in when you get here. Come on in when you get here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Hear the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. One of the great foundational elements of Christianity is love. A couple of months back, I asked the question, can God ever stop loving you? And of course, the answer is no, he can't. Because he is love, and he can never deny who or what he is. And because God loves us, we are to then turn and reflect that love to our brothers and sisters, similar to the story I gave the children. We sing the song often, they know we are Christians by our love. I've called that our theme song many times. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So simply loving each other, we reflect to a dark and lost world that we are the children of God, and they will know that we are Christians by that love. As we have said before, it is reported that in his later years, the Apostle John in the church at Ephesus had basically one message in his sermons. Love one another. Love one another. Because he knew that if the church individually loved each other, then that meant that God first loved them and then blessed them with that salvation, and it was reflected through a love for each other. So the message is simple. Love one another. Love one another. Loving one another reflects that you, I, truly am a Christian. Loving one another reflects that God truly loves you. So back to my question, can God ever stop loving you? No. Never will. Here in this portion of 1 Thessalonians, Paul emulates the Apostle John, his preaching by stating in verse 9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Now concerning this word or this phrase, brotherly love, this is the word, the Greek word, Philadelphia. Philo means to love, Delphus means brother or sister, as it is applied. And it refers to a deep, affectionate love between friends, brothers and sisters in a congregation. It refers to the kind of love that should exist, not because of a physical birth or because we are related somehow. It should exist because of our spiritual relationship. Because we are brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ because of the gift of salvation. A Christian, they almost made it, didn't they? I'm 5 minutes in. Y'all did good. Did y'all have a good time?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, speaking of brotherly love and loving one another being the foundational elements of the church. It's a good looking crowd, ain't it? Paul states here, in 1 Thessalonians, that they had this kind of love, that they didn't need any further instruction, that they had the kind of love he's speaking about, this Philadelphia. Philo, love, Delphus, brother, sister, and that they were taught by God to have this love. Now, this is an incredibly unique phrase, and this is the only place in the New Testament that it's found. That here's the church in Thessalonica loving, and they love because they were taught by God himself. So exactly what does that mean? Is the apostle saying we don't need further instruction about love? If that's the case, then there's a great portion of the New Testament that's wrong. Because it's time and again, love one another, love one another, love one another. We are taught by God to love one another in two ways. First of all, by the example given to us by the Father in sending his Son to die for us. Again, I reflect back on that sermon when I asked the question, can God stop loving you? And the answer, of course, is no. And the proof of that is Jesus Christ hanging on that cross. Because at any point in time, he could have said, I'm out of here. But because he stayed on that cross and died, that shows firmly and resolutely that God loves you and you can never lose it. You can never lose it. Secondly, we receive that gift of love through the ministry of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, bringing that love of God, causing us to love. 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. And so we are to love one another. And this idea, this foundational element of love is so important. Here Paul mentions it twice in verse 9 using two different words for love. Philadelphia was the first, that's brotherly love. The second is one we know as well, and it is agape. Agape, love one another. Using both terms, Paul is raising this idea of love and trying to signify and signal how critically important it is in the church body to love one another. Paul is stating that the love possessed by the Christian, the agape, this sacrificial love, is a love produced by the Spirit, shared among Christians, and it is a love that reaches out to an unlovable or even to one's enemy. I mean, seriously ask the question, how can we love our enemy? You can't without this. Because it has to be a supernatural force. I almost hate to use that word. A supernatural person in the person of the Holy Spirit that causes me to love ones I know don't like me. And these Thessalonians already, they were living this example of loving one another, and they have been showing it love, and that love had permeated out through the countryside. And the Macedonian region, of which he mentions it here, knew of the love of the Thessalonian church. They had a reputation. They have been showing the love to the brethren. This agape love is extended to all. And it's not just a few with whom one might have special rapport. It's everyone. But Paul didn't stop there. In the latter part of verse 10, he says, for that indeed you are doing this all throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Okay, yeah, you've got a good reputation of loving one another. But we cannot rest on our laurels. We have to grow in sanctification. You see, we too, like the Thessalonian church, we have been given this love of God through our salvation. We are taught by God to love others because we have the same example that the Thessalonian church, Jesus Christ hanging on that cross to prove that love, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to grow that love in us. But like the Thessalonian church, I urge us to do more and more, to deepen, to ask the Holy Spirit to deepen that love between us. And New Sterling has a reputation as well. And it's a good one. The visitors we have come through those doors. The pastors who come here and preach when I'm away, usually, not always, but usually the one or two comments is, that is a warm, loving group of people. So we have a reputation. But like the Thessalonian church, we cannot rest on our laurels. We pray, we ask, just as Paul did here, to let it grow. Grow more. Holy Spirit, grow us more. We don't need anyone to tell us how to love, since we are taught by God. However, because of the effects of sin, we are sometimes unlovable, and sometimes we lack loving. And so we need this encouragement. We need this word. We need this teaching. Because of our own sinfulness, we often do not love as we should. Psychology today identifies several reasons many people are afraid of true love. Real love makes us feel vulnerable. So in order to protect, we don't love. New love stirs up past hurts from past relationships. We've been hurt, and we've hurt others. So to expose ourselves and to make ourselves lovable and to love brings up those past relationships. Love challenges an old identity for those who feel unlovable. Real joy comes real pain in true love from disappointments. Love is often unequal. A new love can break your connection to your family. It's tough for a mom when the son marries that woman and in a sense replaces her. It's tough. When we fall in love, we fear we may lose the one we love. These can be true, but not for the Christian. Those items cannot be true for the Christian. Yes, we love and we're vulnerable. Yes, we love and we're going to get hurt. Yes, we love and we're going to disappoint and be disappointed. And yes, we're going to lose our loved ones. But we love. A Christian is to just love. Paul now, here in verse 11, shifts right dramatically. Shifts from this discussion of love to points that are very practical. And at first glance, as I read through them again, they may seem totally unrelated to his conversation of love. It's important for us to understand that our daily lives, the way we live, the very way we conduct our own business, affects how we are accepted and loved by others. The way we live can grow our love for others or by others, or it can lessen. And so this is Paul's words. He says in verse 11, and to aspire to live quietly, there's one, and to mind your own affairs, there's two, and to work with your hands, there's three. Three things. Again, in first reading, you think, Paul, you lost me. But the Apostle Paul is challenging the Thessalonians to look at their lives to see if it's affected the ability to show brotherly love. Evidently, there were some in the church here in Thessalonica that were having some issues. And so Paul, getting the good report from Timothy about this love and about this work and the work and the health of the church, there were still some little pockets of work that needed to be done. And so there were some having some issues, and the peace and the love within the church was being challenged. And so he says first, tells them to aspire to live quietly. Now, this doesn't mean quietly as in hush, but this means quietly as a sense of restfulness. Peacefulness. Aspire to live a life of peace. Faith joined the church last week. I asked her the question. Do you vow to keep the peace, purity, and prosperity of the church? One of the most vital vows, other than your salvation, vital vows that we take as a church. The peace, purity, and prosperity of the church. Here Paul is saying, aspire to live quietly. A sense of restfulness, a sense of peacefulness. To do otherwise, to be frantic and boisterous, and it can be disarming and can cause some not to love or depart from loving. Secondly, he said, to mind your own affairs. Evidently, there were some here who were busybodies in the church, meddling in others' affairs. When our priority is taking care of our own lives, not in a selfish but self-centered way, but in a truly biblical way, then we are less likely to become busybodies, gossipers, because nosy busybodies, they're not very lovable. Then finally, he tells them to work with their hands, as we instructed you. Now, this shows evidence of the strong Greek culture here. Strong Greek culture, because they looked down on manual labor. They thought the Greek was taught that manual labor was beneath them. And so that's why they had so many slaves. A Greek person didn't work, basically. And so here, he's telling them, work with your hands. Don't be idle in and among the community. Don't be idle in and among the church. That doesn't foster a loving relationship. This was such an issue that over in 2 Thessalonians, we'll get to here in a couple of weeks, he told them, if anyone is not willing to work, then they don't eat. Something our nation could listen to and where it's needed. If one is not willing to do their parts, they are not showing very much love for others. This holds true in the church. It is estimated in some churches that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Paul said, don't be idle. Work. Work. Now, we understand that there are some in our church, some in our community, mentioned many times in the Bibles, the widows, the orphans, the handicapped, those who have special needs. He is not talking to them. So please don't confuse. But those who are just being idle. Paul says, a loving church works together. And finally, Paul says in verse 12, if you do all these things, you do all this so that you may walk properly before the outsiders and be dependent on no one. Again, an unbelieving world is watching the church. And today, more than any time, Madison's age and probably her age and down, these two young ladies right back here, they want authenticity. They want what's real. And they will measure you and the church by its authenticity. And Paul says, so walk in a way, loving, so that the world sees that we are doing what we've been asked, called on to do. Authentic. Living lives that back up their profession with works and walk a consistent walk with our talk. What does brotherly love look like? It is serving. It is doing, not just talking. It is to have an affection and a respect which places others above ourselves. And we love ourselves, quite frankly. And we put us first a lot. Brotherly love looks like we're praying for one another and seeking after the well-being of others. Again, Paul's words to the church in Thessalonica, I give them to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. If you're a believer, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit within you, you too have been taught by God to love. Now we need the instruction. We need the encouragement because our sinfulness gets in the way. But let us love one another. We have been shown an incredible love by God the Father. As I said, he proved it by his allowing his son to die on that cross. And when he stayed on that cross, that validated every bit of it. God is love. And then the Holy Spirit brought that love to us through our redemption so that we can love. And so let us show the love we've been shown as we love one another. Let us pray together. Father, indeed, thank you for the beautiful gift of your love within us, redeeming us, saving us from a devil's hell, but allowing us to love one another. And so let us be patient with one another. Let us look to the well-being of one another Let us be concerned with one another, forgiving with one another, showing this brotherly love that you have given us through these, through the presence of the wonderful Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.